In our age and culture of self-help, the world celebrates transformation, especially when it's seen as positive transformations. Television shows and articles feature those who transform their appearance through extreme weight loss, exercise, and makeovers. There are those who were transformed by the challenge of certain disabilities and disadvantages, which are then able to overcome those obstacles, whether through education or a change in their orientation and thinking, or through sheer will and human determination, in order to be the best that they can possibly be, in order to demonstrate the degree of transformation that may occur if only we set our minds to it. In the end, however, such transformation has little or no value of its own. Not that losing weight isn't a bad thing, or that getting a more positive mindset isn't a bad thing. But these kinds of exaltations of human transformation serves only to reinforce the vain and delusional values of the world, which holds self-love, self-satisfaction, self-actualization, and self-determination as that which is most vital and important. It completely misses the real transformation that must take place in the broken and disordered soul. A soul that is in bondage to sin, to the disordered impulses of passions. A soul that is dying and cut off from that which it was created for, communion with God, the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, the transformation celebrated by the world is just a cheap imitation of true transformation. In fact, it only helps to hide our true spiritual infirmity and brokenness. This worldly transformation takes us even further from the truth of our real condition and endeavors to bring us to a place of self-satisfaction, of self-contentment. But true transformation occurs only in the light of Christ. When we begin to be confronted with the truth of who we really are deep down in the depths of our soul, when we begin to recognize our own brokenness and sinfulness, our own bondage to our passions and disordered impulses, it is then that we may begin to avail ourselves to the divine presence of God, to the divine healing of the soul. It is then we may begin to experience true transformation. For it is a life that is transformed by Christ, which stands as the mark of our true transformation. Transformed by Christ. This becomes a central theme of the Gospels, and is indeed at the very heart of salvation, the history, and of our own Orthodox spirituality. To be transformed by Christ. To be changed by His very holy presence. Our Gospel lesson this morning from the 5th Gospel of St. Luke features lives transformed by Christ. They are four fishermen at the shores of Lake Gennesaret, as Luke calls it, but we also know that as the Sea of Galilee. And while the Luke Gospel does not specifically name the four fishermen that Jesus encounters here at the lake shore, we know from the other Gospels of of Matthew and Mark, that they are Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and then Simon's partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were fishermen with their father Zebedee, and a hired servant. And Jesus encounters these four men, these four common fishermen. They were not educated men. They were not men of letters. But they were simple blue-collar working men who were out all night fishing, trying to earn a living. All night fishing to not catch even a single fish. And Jesus sees Simon Peter's boat sitting there by the lakeshore, and the crowds who were there to hear Jesus' teaching pressed in on every side. And so Jesus gets into the boat, Simon's empty boat, and he casts out a little from the shore. And Jesus sits down in the boat, the posture of a rabbi, of a teacher. And he begins to teach the people. He begins to preach and to proclaim the kingdom of God. And then verse 4 tells us, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And we see here the first of transformation being happening with Simon Peter, that of obedience. Even in the midst of his own skepticism and doubt, at Jesus' word, Simon responds. And he launches out into the deep. And despite having fished all night long and catching nothing, in obedience to the word of Christ, Simon lets down the net. And verse 6 says, "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink." Can you imagine? They had such a huge catch of fish that it filled two boats to the point that they were sinking. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You see, this was not a rejection of Christ. Rather, in the midst of this divine encounter, in this miraculous catch of fish, and recognizing something about the divine nature of this person who was in the boat with him, Peter suddenly realizes his own brokenness and unworthiness. You know, we can keep it together. We can live in self-delusion. We can keep ourselves distracted from our own sins and brokenness through the affairs of this world, through entertainment and other avenues of escape. But when we truly encounter Christ, when we are confronted with His holiness, we are brought to a place of true contrition, of repentance, of true sense of unworthiness. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Verse 9, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." This was the next step of transformation. First skeptical obedience, then the sign, the miraculous sign, a heart of contrition and repentance, and then finally a heart of radical obedience, a renunciation of the world, a renunciation of the values of this world, a willingness to follow our Lord at all cost, a life transformed by Christ. This account aside from being a historical account of the call of these four disciples, speaks also to the transformation that occurs in God's grace, even in the church. First, the very image of Christ in the boat. The boat as a figurement of the ark of salvation. Jesus sitting in the ark as the captain of the ship, as the leader of the church, the head of the church, teaching. But transformation comes not only through simply through the word, through preaching. It begins there, by faith comes by hearing, St. Paul tells us. But it is sealed in the sign of covenant. And here, the sign of covenant, the miraculous draught of fish, is an icon, is a prefigurement of the grace of Christ in the church, and calling the apostles who would become not fishermen as a living, but fishers of men, who would bring a great draft of souls into the church from the four corners of the earth, from every nation, men and women of every race, color, and creed, to the truth of the gospel. A prefigurement of the seal of covenant that is in the very Eucharist, in the body and blood of Christ. A life that is transformed. Being transformed by Christ entails a struggle. A struggle to take true inventory of our lives and to be confronted with our own sins and brokenness. A struggle against the very powers of evil. A struggle to act affirmatively in the divine life of Christ through the Holy Spirit. A struggle to be obedient to that call to follow Christ. Archimandrite Irenae, in the book The Beginnings of a Life in Prayer, further elaborates on this struggle in our life of transformation. And I want to read just a page from this book that really spoke to me and struck my heart this past week in reading it. He writes, "This is the hopeless state to which spiritual lethargy leads. One in which man does not struggle, does not act. So he fails to attain even the fundamentals of the true life in Christ. While modern man in some ways feels himself enlightened by no longer subscribing to the old-fashioned legends and myths of the devil, demon, spiritual contest, or at times even sin itself, the Christian knows this enlightenment to be pure delusion. It is the hiding of reality beneath the thin veil of knowing better. A veil that is transparent when one looks at it objectively from the church's perspective of true knowledge in the Lord, yet which, without that knowledge, seems to many to be the very fabric of reality itself. How hopeless this all would seem were it not for the reality of the resurrected Christ. Without this, man's very existence would be defined by but one word, death. All his sin, all his willing submission to the passions, leads only there. The work of his enemy strives to bring about this one fruit. Man's inability to recognize his weakness and the strength of his foes would assure their success. This would be truly a cause for despair, for true sorrow and lamentation. But the Christian person, even the whole created race of man, has been offered the one thing needful, the defeat of death itself. By this defeat wrought by Christ at the cross, in the tomb, and in Hades, in his self-sacrificing glory, the contest in which man is engaged is one preceded by the emblems of victory. The cross is made the ensign of life, and the battleground of the heart is reclaimed for the glory of the risen Lord. This does not mean that the contest ceases. The devil may be defeated, but he still wields a powerful sword. We still bow down before the passions, but redemption has come to the race of man. The contest is renewed and given strength in Christ. The Spirit has come to provide the armor of the battle. Weakness is made powerful. and the impossible is made possible for the human race and its Lord. So our daily task is great, to look inward to the depth of the heart, to discover there the chains that bind us deep to the bottommost parts of the sea, and by the grace of Christ to struggle against them. We are called to work through the redemptive power of the incarnate Lord to defeat that which seeks our destruction. We are to take stock of our condition daily, to see it in its true weakness, and to call upon the solace and support of the charitable Lord to overcome it. We are called to change, to be transformed, to see and know ourselves so that we can offer ourselves to Christ for transfiguration. A life of change. A life of transformation. Indeed, a life transformed by Christ. This is the essence of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 6. A life transformed by Christ is not a life in which our religious life merely serves as a backdrop. It is rather a life that has been transformed in every area by the presence of Christ, by perpetual encounter with the kingdom of heaven. To be transformed by Christ always means radical transformation, radical discipleship, radical obedience. It means to walk away from the boats and the nets of our former lives, our former ways of thinking, and our former ways of doing in order to follow our Lord. To be transformed by Christ means that every area of our lives are open to the divine presence and encounter of our Lord, even as we struggle in the brokenness of our own lives, even as we, like St. Peter, are keenly aware of our own unworthiness. This past week, I had the joy and privilege of being able to attend our Diocesan Parish Life Conference up at Antiochian Village. And one of the most wonderful blessings I had was to encounter some visitors there at the Parish Life Conference who were the fruit of a wonderful ministry that I knew little about that's going on in Pittsburgh. It's a ministry called Focus Pittsburgh. And it's led by a very young man, probably in his 20s, a man by the name of Paul Abernathy, who happens to be a cousin of our own Bishop Thomas. And Paul, who has the charisma, who has the education and the credentials to do probably just about anything he could do in life, has chosen instead a life of service to our Lord in this ministry called Focus Pittsburgh. This ministry, Paul tells us, is a ministry centered in the Hill District of the city of Pittsburgh. The Hill District, which was characterized in the street, the series back in the 70s and early 80s, Hill Street Blues, is based upon this neighborhood, a very rough neighborhood, predominantly poor African American neighborhood of Pittsburgh. 11% of all the city's homicides occur in this one district. The median income in this neighborhood is only $18,000 a year. Children every day go to bed hungry. Parents not having food to eat. In many cases, only single parent families. The Hill District of Pittsburgh is one marked not only by hunger, but by great brokenness and darkness and despair. But the ministry of Focus is bringing the light and the hope of the Orthodox faith, of the Christian faith, the gospel of our Lord. It's not just proclaiming it with words, but it is making visible the kingdom in a powerful way. They have developed a multitude of ministries They now, Focus has set up a free health clinic in which doctors and physician assistants and nurses come in and volunteer their time and services to be able to provide medical care for people who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford it. They have developed job mentoring. And one thing they said is that before they even teach them any job skills, they teach them how to love. For many of these people are people who failed to even understand love and what love truly means. Because if you can't love, you can't even respect a boss or a manager for what you're working. And above all things, besides food pantries and feeding children who otherwise wouldn't have meals, this ministry is bringing people to the light of Christ. Because it is predominantly African American, they have developed the Society of St. Moses the Black in reaching these black communities. And many have come to the faith. Many have submitted themselves as catechumens. And there were a number with Paul on Friday who came, who traveled all the way from Pittsburgh to our parish life conference. These are the people who were there as witnesses of the transformation that has happened in their life. And encountering the truth of the gospel in very real and tangible ways, not just an ideology, but rather the love of Christ, the divine encounter of our Lord, meeting these people in the streets, and their own hunger and brokenness, and their search for something more than the dark despair of this world. This is a picture and a powerful illustration of the transforming power of Christ. To be transformed by Christ, not simply through words, but through acts of real love, so that we might make visible His kingdom, so that we might too become fishers of men, and bringing the transforming love and power of Christ to all the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.